This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And when you're trying to plan a trip to Walt Disney World, you want to know where to go in Walt Disney World. I want to know where I want to stay. I want where I want to eat. And I also want to get a great deal on that. All these kinds of questions and more. Well, you know what? MEI and Mouse Travel is here to help you plan that perfect Walt Disney World trip and get you a great deal on it as well. They're a great travel agency. Check them out right now at mousefantravel.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Wednesday, October 1st, 2014, and this is episode 1403 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Join me on today's show, Mike Scopa, a blogger for TalkingPlanets.com and co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast. Welcome to the show, Mike.
First day of school.
And Caesar Nemo and Friends?
Wow. No.
Finding Nemo the musical.
What?
Finding Nemo the musical.
Yeah.
Oh. Jesus. Nice. Also joining us on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse
you're like,
World.
You're like the dude that's like a dollar more on The Price is White, right?
Yep. I bet a dollar and you got it off by like a cent. Yep.
Len just totally stepped on my intro.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Do it again.
No, it doesn't matter now. They know who
I
am.
No, I want you to feel special.
The magic's gone.
They know who I am.
Also joining us on today's show, Len Testa, co-author of The Introduction to Walt Disney World, co-host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast, and man who likes to step over people's introductions. Welcome to the show, Len.
Well, thanks, Matt. I'm glad to be here. And
I purposely waited for you to do that.
Nice. If I can make Len choke, my work here is done.
On today's show, we're answering your listener emails. And first email is from our Sam on the Outer Banks.
Sam Walker.
Writes, hey, buddies. Love you. Love the show.
Welcome, welcome.
Helping a coworker on one of our morning shows who's planning to visit in February 2015. What are the best choice of each resort in each category for couples?
Ooh.
For couples.
Well, Len always thinks in the Valley Resort category. That would be, of course, the All-Star Resorts.
I really do, actually. well, because you can actually take a walk along all three resorts. A nice little romantical stroll. Both of us for together. Anyway, in the Moderates?
I think it's got to be French Quarter, right?
It's the French Quarter is smaller. That's the thing.
Right, but
you could walk over to Riverside, I guess.
Okay.
I'll be there.
Any of the Port Orleans, honestly, because the French Quarter has the intimacy in terms of the smallness of the resort, but also Riverside has the Magnolia Bend, which is just beautiful and evokes old Southern love. And for the deluxe resorts, which one, what do you think they're scoping?
deluxe. Well, not going to say Grand Funny. I'd have to say when there's no construction, the Polynesian.
Yep, I agree with that.
When there's no construction.
So wait a year. Well, February.
They're going in February 2015.
Yeah, it'll still be under construction.
No, I would go with
I'd go with Grand Floridian, honestly.
Either that or the Beach Club.
It's tough. It's really tough. I mean, Beach Club is fine, but it's just so many. It's so crowded. You know, you see when you're at the Beach Club, it's deluxe and everything. It's really nice. But there are people all around who aren't even staying there. But when you go to the Polynesian, most of the people you see there are people who are there. So you don't get a big crowd. And I don't know, Beach Club, I'd almost say Animal Kingdom Lodge, and you could walk over to Fort Wilderness. I don't know. It's tough.
And Newell, if you had to pick a DVC resort for a couple.
Wow. That's a good question. You know, I'm going to say the Wilderness Lodge Villas.
Does it have to be at Disney World?
Yeah, my first choice would have been Vero.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you're talking, the property, I'm going to say Wilderness Lodge Villas.
All right, very good. Next email is from Ray in Florida.
Well, you don't have to call me Ray. No?
Thank you for a fun and entertaining podcast. Matt, this question is for you. I am both a Disney blood type and loyal to Royal Caribbean. Royal has a Crown and Anchor service for returning guests. Does Disney have anything to reward its returning guests, and why not?
Well, no. There's the, what do they call that, Len? The Castaway Club.
Yeah, for the cruise line.
For cruise line. Yeah. Oh, is he talking about the resorts?
Oh, that's a good question. He says, does Disney? I'm not sure, honestly, if he means.
Yeah, well, cruise. They do. For,
yeah,
cruise, for line
cruise,
does.
Cruise line does. Yes.
Parks. One thing.
Parks enough. Parks says, thank you very much for your money. Move on.
Yeah. Keep moving.
There's your line, son.
It's the Castaway Club, right, Len?
Yeah.
Yep. So you have that. It's similar. I mean, in some sense. But because, you know, there's different levels. The more you cruise, the more you level up to the next level. But, you know, it's still Disney. They're not exactly going to be, you know, rolling out the red carpet for you. Next email is from Gerald in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. Club Cool is an area for tasting Coca-Cola products from around the world. Why is it in Future World and not World Showcase?
Because there's no place to put it in World Showcase.
Because the reason for that is that the Future World area there is supposed to represent all. And if you put it in World Showcase, you'd have to decide which country you'd put it in. This way they have it in one area, and it's sort of like the entry into the world, and so you've got them all there.
The queue line for Soarin' features wonders from around the world, and the rumored update will feature Soarin' around the world. Again, this would make more sense in World Showcase. And while I'm at it, I'm going to stick It's a Small World at the entrance to World Showcase. Also, are there any other attractions you think are in the wrong place? A lot. I mean,
wow.
All Tomorrowland,
yeah.
Essentially.
Exactly.
Yep. They all just – there's nothing – Tomorrow-ish, except for maybe Stitch, honestly. It's the only one that I could really make an exception for.
It's not Tomorrowland about the Speedway.
The Speedway, right.
Exactly.
Unless they were flying cars, then it would fit.
Yep. The Seas of Nemo and Friends.
I dare you to make
a connection on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's quite a bit. I think we actually talked about this on a couple different shows. But, yeah, there's primarily those are the big offenders a lot of people point to. Next, we have an email from – oh, and the other one was, I think, Scopa pointed out, was on Avatar Land would make more sense at the studios than Animal Kingdom.
Problem is there's no room at the studios.
Yes.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
Next, we have an email from Neil from North Littleton, Worcestershire, but originally from
– just say United Kingdom.
Hello, governors and governess. Should Annette grace the podcast with her presence?
That's right, Matt.
Myself, my partner, and three children all travel to the world August 14th next year, and this will be our first time that we have used FastPass Plus. From what I heard, the system is fairly unflexible and strictly adhered to. We have a 17-day stay off-site, Reunion Villa. I am sure Len can wax lyrical over the virtues of this renting privately on this resort over the Disney World offerings. And our final 31st of August has been the only day that I've been able to secure FastPass Plus for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, despite trying to wake up at 5 to 6 a.m. UK time every day, 30 days out. The things us crazy Brits do. However, in order to secure the fast passes, I had to book them individually with each time overlapping, except for one, our youngest son, age 6, whose time elapsed is 15 minutes before the earliest opening time of the rest of the fast passes. What can I do? Do you think a visit to guest services on the day will magically fix this? Or is it best to try our luck with the cast member at the attraction? Or should I contact Disney guest services ahead of time to try and resolve the issue? Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope.
So the sun's ends 15 minutes before the other ones begin?
Yes. His begins actually, I think, before, actually.
Yeah. So they all overlap except for one, right?
They all overlap, yeah, and the one who has 15 minutes before the earliest opening time of the rest.
So it must end 15 minutes before, otherwise it would overlap.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yep.
Okay. Because you know, there's a 15-minute grace period at the end of it, but that would really put him literally like at the last minute before You know what? There's a couple of things you could do. You could take advantage of the and it depends on how much hassle you want to go through. You could let your son go in 5 minutes into the FastPass line, 5 minutes before everyone else, then just walk through. Then have him wait right behind the scanners for you guys for 5 more minutes until your windows become valid, and then you can all do it. Or you could stop by City Hall and see if they can move something around for you.
I would try option B, Len. I mean, they've been very inflexible with times. When in my experience, they're just like, if you got, you can tell them the whole story. They'll be like, that's a great story. You got to wait 5 minutes. You can go in now.
Yeah, and I think that's what, you know, if you go to time to City Hall or whatever, that's just gonna be time wasted. I think your choices are let your son go in 5 minutes early and literally just have him wait for you on the other side of the scanners, like where you can reach out and touch him if you wanted to, but right. You know, just he's past the point at which you have to do the validation, or talk to the cast member ahead of time and tell him what you want to do. Just
and
do that.
Yeah, and just a reminder, when you're booking these fast passes, make sure you, one of the best strategies is you have all the accounts linked under one master account. Whoever that master account is the person making all the reservations. It makes it so much easier. So you don't have to avoid. So you can avoid situations like this. Next, we have an email from John G. in Madison, Wisconsin. Howdy, gang. My daughter just had her 10th birthday, but we still have 3 days left on a child's ticket with no expiration. Will she have any trouble using it when we go down in February?
No.
No, not at all. No problems whatsoever. Next is an email from Steve in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
My wife,
it's like this year. just kidding.
My wife and I have been sharing a Disney World account for many years now, but I noticed that next to her name, it says invite to plan and share. Do we miss out on anything by having her as my liege in my account? Should we make her an account and link it up to mine as a friend with benefits? I like having her on my account because I can keep an eye on her and make sure that no stray Victoria and Albert's reservations appear.
That's awesome.
You do need to create an account if you want to, like, if you want two FastPass pluses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sorry, Steve. Just make sure she doesn't change her password. Next email is from Van Edwards from Fayetteville, Georgia.
Van?
Jekyll Dog on the boards. Hoorah!
Oh, not that Van.
He writes Go Dogs. Not sure if this question has been asked or answered on the show. If so, I haven't heard it. We'll be staying at the Wilderness Lodge in January, as I understand it. You pay for parking as part of the cost of staying at the resort. We decided to drive to Animal Kingdom instead of taking the Disney bus from the resort. Would we have to pay for parking at the park? Why does it have to pay for parking at the resort?
Yeah, would.
You do not have to do that, sir.
Yeah. Even if you're visiting, you don't pay
only for parking. Only the Swan or Dolphin. Even if you're visiting, yeah, it's free.
Yeah.
Right, only the Swan and Dolphin.
I think what he means, I think when he says we pay for parking as part of the cost, meaning if you're a resort guest and you go to Magic Kingdom, you do not have to pay to park at Magic Kingdom. If that's what you mean, then yes, that's correct. You don't have to worry about it. You never have to pay at the resorts to park. And if you did, then someone got you good.
That'll be $20, sir.
Yeah. Just in front of the resort. That'll be $20. $20.
Hey, get your parking right here.
That's a good idea. Next email is from Mark Swayze of Zionsville, Indiana. I could not think of a better group to answer this question, and I do not think it's something you've covered before. How would you schedule a trip to Orlando if you wanted to visit Disney World and Universal in 1 week? Seems like using Magical Express may be used on one end of the trip, but not both. Say a Universal Park Hotel to get to the front of the line tickets. How many days allocated for each Universal and Disney World? Rent car, which park first?
I would do Disney first and last, and Universal in the middle, and then you can use Magical Express both ways.
That.
Smart.
And take a cab in between.
The only problem with doing that is you have to change.
Yeah, check in and out twice. Yeah.
Well, okay. But you're getting a free bus ride.
Let's start with the easy one. Len, how many days in each park? I guess Universal is really going to determine how many days you have at Disney, right?
Yeah, you could do each of the Universal parks in a day. Right, for now, that's it's a 2 day visit. Especially, it's two long days, and you know, I would put a day of rest after that.
Right, and that's because again, the resort benefits will help you immensely with
exactly. You'll be getting a front of the line access in virtually everything, all the major rides except for the Harry Potter ones.
So, what do you think, Universal first or last?
I'd do Universal first, because some of the rides are very good. Some of them aren't quite up to, you know, as good as Disney's, but it'll be an interesting point of comparison.
Yeah, Dr. Doom's drop. I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
Next email is from.
You can see my house from here. Yeah.
Next email is from Tim DeLauro of Austin, Texas. Longtime listener, first time emailer. Wow, wow. First, let me say thanks for all you do in providing a little bit of Disney edutainment a few times a week. Having the podcast helps to keep me entertained in between trips to the world and make long since a windshield time go by much faster when driving for business. I travel quite a bit to work, and I gain benefits by racking up hotel points. After a recent visit to the world and the planning stages for a couple of upcoming trips in the next couple of years, I discovered that my business travel could be applied to Disney World if I were to bank points with Starwood for free nights at the Swan and Dolphin. Historically, I always stayed on property at Disney hotels, but given some of the very Disney-like amenities the Swan and Dolphin offer, it seems like it could be best on property non-Disney hotels, new Four Seasons excluded. It's prime Epcot location, accessibility to FastPass Plus, Disney transportation, deluxe accommodations, and character dining seem like a home run for a non-Disney hotel. Not to mention the price generally seems more moderate as compared to other Disney deluxe hotels. Am I missing something? Is the Swan and Dolphin really the perfect blend of non-Disney and Disney accommodations? Do other on-property non-Disney hotels offer similar amenities like FastPass Plus? When booking direct through Starwood for a free night, will I have access to my Disney experience? How about Magical Express? How about as a hotel option for run Disney weekends?
Hmm.
I think with the points, it's definitely – if you're getting it for free with points, it's a no-brainer, dude. I mean, free is always going to be everything else. You got, there are a couple things that I've always noticed with the Swan and Dolphin you got to keep in mind, especially when you're paying for it. One is the fact that there's the price for the hotel, and then there's also other prices for – there's a resort fee. There's a parking fee. So there's extra costs that are associated with that. So it's you got to keep that in mind. But it sounds like he kind of wants to bank the points with, you know, business travel, and then when they go to Disney World – they'll be staying for free, in which case I would totally go for that because, again, free trumps everything else. They have the bus service, so that's cool. Len, can you book FastPass Plus with Swan and Dolphin hotels?
Yes. I think you only get the 30-day, but so you can.
But no Magical Express, right?
No Magical Express, right.
Yes. So I guess it depends. It really comes down to, Tim, if you were paying for it or you were going to get it for free with the points, I think, personally. But I know a lot of people, especially a lot of our listeners, love – the Swan and Dolphin. Kim Knight, who listens to our podcast, loves it for the points. I know that Deb Wills loves to stay at the – not that I'm plugging her, name dropping. But I know that she loves to stay there because it's, again, good deal. Great views. And Scopa, what do you think about the run Disney weekends? Is there an advantage there?
Well, yes. Back in my day, when we were inventing fire, it was a great place to stay. When I first
it's
invented the wheel –
it's called being on mute. The only problem with staying at the Swan and Dolphin during the Run Disney weekends is that it's probably not a host resort. So in order for you to get to the race start, you have to walk, which isn't bad. You walk over to the yacht club and take a bus there to your race start. But other than that, you know, and if you happen to be running this weekend at the Tower of Terror, if you're at the Swan and Dolphin, you could walk to the studios because nobody can take a car. Nobody can take a cab to the studios. That is verboten. So everybody who's running this weekend,
unless,
you know, they have to take the bus.
Unless you happen to leave your car there because you were a day guest. Hint, hint, which you should do because the other method stinks. I hate that rule, by the way, Scoob. I hope you mentioned that on your podcast.
I will.
It's a terrible idea.
I know.
Next, we have an email from Neil Katup of North Littleton, Worcestershire. Jeez, UK. There's another guy from the same place.
That's probably it's the same guy.
What's that?
Isn't it the same guy? We had a Neil before.
Is it the same guy? I thought he had a different weird name to pronounce. Same town.
What are the chances?
We're big in Worcester. We're big in the UK.
We're on BBC Radio 5.
Quick question for you all on the treatment of multiple tickets on one Magic Band. Quite simply, I have 5 1-day expiring tickets and 1 non-expiration ticket with 2 days left. I want to use the expiring ticket first. How do the Magic Bands determine the order in which the tickets are used, and how do I change this? It's not the order I wish to use them in.
So I think the Scopa will or Scobetta will agree that it's the computer system will try and find the first entitlement that gets you in the door. So you'll want to make sure that that your tickets are in a specific order.
Yes,
that's a good idea. Yeah.
Next, we have an email from David Matibus of Waltham, Massachusetts. He writes, "Hi, guys. Apologize for the lengthy email in advance. I've got an interesting thing to ponder. We're still about 2 years away from our next trip to the Disney theme parks soon, but we have other amusement parks within reach of New England. For our birthday this year, we made the trek southwest to fabulous Hershey Park, which I presume is the closest thing to a theme park we have in New England. In any case, listening to you for years and setting the unofficial guides and touring plans for quite some time, I thought we could adapt some of the methods for touring Hershey. In a word, fail. It was my son's 13th birthday, which unfortunately was a Saturday this year. I know, touring a local park on a weekend is generally a bad idea, but the point of this trip was indeed to be in the park for his birthday. Visiting on a sleepy Tuesday simply wasn't an option, so here's how it went. We arrived in a half hour before rope drop, 10 a.m., tickets already in hand. Unfortunately, I discovered that Hershey offers early entry to guests staying at a Hershey resort. I had no idea how big the crowd was inside, but the line at the gate wasn't overly large. So at the appointed time, we raced in. The first headliner is the Comet roller coaster, literally feet inside the gate. But even reaching there within 5 minutes of opening, the line was already almost an hour. However, there were other attractions nearby we were able to ride. Tilt Whirl, Monorail, Skyway, blah, blah, blah. We were hanging around the main entrance area despite my urging my touring party to move deeper into the park. We succumbed to the many distractions, and my son wound up playing some skee ball and other games. So that's a mistake. We climbed the hill to the observation tower and rode that. We finally got the other coaster. And I'm going to skip ahead here because there's quite a bit of... because there's questions. My question is thus. Was I wrong in trying to apply a touring plan theory to a non-Disney park? It seemed to me that some of the tactics may have worked with a more amenable touring party.
Yeah, I think it totally made sense to try and do a touring plan for the park. I would have tried it.
Yeah, I think so too. There's definitely some things you can take away. I mean, arriving early was good. Obviously, he didn't know about the early entry thing for the resort guests, which obviously would have helped. Newell, haven't you done Hershey Park before?
Yeah. What's odd is this is the second like review of Hershey we've had on a question show.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I'm starting to think we need to spread out and spin off another show on Hershey.
I think I'm going to create a book, Unofficial Guide to Hershey Park.
Hershey Park.
You should totally try that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Next email is from Kevin Parrish of Baton, North Carolina. I recently returned from Disney World and have a question about FastPass Plus. I was able to book and use FastPasses, at least until I tried to get more. I could change times and experiences for active FastPasses with no problem. The issues were with expired FastPasses. When I tried to get new ones using the Melville app, it told me use expired FastPasses were still active and I had to replace them for every member of the group of seven. Then it returned an error every time and I could go no further. I didn't want to visit the FastPass kiosk on principle since A, it defeats the purpose of the mobile app, and B, I didn't want to stand in line to get a FastPass and then in line to ride the actual attraction. I had several other guests who had the same problem. Have you experienced or heard about this? I could see an overload system causing the error, but why don't the used expired FastPasses just go away, allowing the guests to reserve available new ones?
It's one of the inexplicable things about my Disney experience, but I'm telling you, I've seen every day, we see instances where there are FastPasses that we can't delete, and they're just forced to sit there until they expire, and we can't do anything with any other FastPasses until they're gone.
Yeah.
Every day. Every single day.
Hmm. Well, that's
– I literally don't know.
Just the way it is, I guess, for right now.
Forever. Whatever.
People are going to listen to this podcast like 10 years later and be like, wow, you people had to deal with all that?
Exactly.
Why did you ever go? Next, we have an email from Christina in Kentucky. My husband and I are headed to the world in 2015. We're able to purchase military tickets, 4-day park hoppers for $177 per person. We also have a connection to get free cast member tickets, but from what I understand, we would not be able to reserve FastPass Plus in advance, even though we're staying at the beach club. So what do? Free tickets or make the FastPass Plus reservations? It'll be just the two of us. No kids, if that makes a difference.
I'd go with the free tickets.
I go with the free tickets, too.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, even if you were staying on site and you had 60 days advance notice, you're never going to get a FastPass for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. You're never going to get a FastPass for Anna and Elsa, because those are just lotteries. There's more demand than they have fast passes. Yep. So everything else is going to be available to you, though, even at the 30-day mark.
Yep.
So
totally agree. Next, we have an email from David from Exton, Pennsylvania. Gentlemen, ladies, and Len. I know Matt gets tripped up reading listener email questions sometimes, so I'll make this simple. Me wants to rent DVC points. Me wants to go to park soon. Me wants to know how do me get and set up bands if renting points for my stay.
So David's DVCRental.com or DVCRentals.com for the DVCs. Then it just works like a regular stay. You'll have a reservation. You can make your booking 60 days in advance. You'll get magic bands, all the usual stuff.
Next, an email from Randy. Hi, guys. Really love the podcast. I've been listening for years. I live in Alabama, and my son will be attending college in Tampa next year. We'd like to buy him an annual pass. I want to know if a student attending college in Florida would qualify for a Florida resident pass discounts. He will not have a Florida driver's license, but would have a Florida student ID. So
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Because when I've bought annual passes, the resident rate, you have to show ID. And I'm not sure that a college ID works.
Right, because you're really not a resident.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They need it's not a government issued ID, and I believe you need government issued identification in order to qualify. You might be try one of those things that people who don't drive cars get.
Like essentially identification cards.
Yeah, like exactly. you might try that. I don't know why. Why are they opposed to his son getting a driver's license? What do you care?
Maybe he doesn't have one in Florida.
No, exactly. But you can go get one. If you have one in another state, you just transfer. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, but don't you have to live in Florida to get a Florida license?
No, you know, yes, but he'll be living there as a student. Here's my address. But,
It could be different insurance policy things.
That could be. Yeah. I just know that when I moved down to Florida, like the first week there, I went to the DMV. I transferred my stuff, no problem, and I got a Florida license with him.
Bless you. I mean, you were trying to, you know, he was trying to evade the authorities or whatever.
But it might caught me yet. All right. Anyway, Newell, time for our last email?
Sure.
All right. Time for our last email today. And that means I gave Mr. Newell three emails to choose from. One may or may not be spam, and the other two will be read later. You ready, Mike?
Sure.
Stripping at the Beach Club Villas.
Oh, boy.
Creepy Cinderella. Help for the Uber planner.
Let's go with help with the Uber planner since Len's back.
You could have also used that same excuse to go with stripping at the Beach Club Villas.
Yeah, I'm staying away from that.
Since Len's back.
That's true.
Last email of the day is from Jeremy. Hey, guys. Great show. I need some help for our upcoming trip for November 2015. We'll be in the world November 14th to 22nd. My family and I have been to the world 7 times. My problem is that I'm an Uber planner, according to my wife. Luckily, she loves Disney World, however, hates the idea of using a touring plan, which we always do. She's wanting me to only plan our table service meals ahead of time. She didn't seem too excited to having to plan the rest of our fast passes. My question is, should I just try to pick the best days of each park on the crowd calendar and then plan our meals and fast passes? And if so, should I choose fast pass times for later in the day or in the morning? Any ideas or suggestions? Oh, and by the way, we don't park hop bullpen to use extra magic hours.
All right.
I think, Len, you said already they should use the crowd calendar and then kind of base everything else off that, right?
Yeah, and again, other than Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Elsa, any Fastpass reservations you make, even literally the night before, pretty much everything will be available at every hour that you want of the day.
Yep, and you should try that in the morning if you can. And the reason for we've mentioned this in other shows, you want to get your first three done ASAP. Essentially, before noon would be great, because by doing so, then you open yourself up to as many Fastpasses as you want in addition, because after you finish your first three, you can start getting one fast pass at a time ad infinitum, right?
Exactly, yeah. You just keep going until it's done, yeah.
Exactly. So you can really make out like bandits if you do it that way. But if you wait, if your last fast pass of your original three is until 7 p.m., then you can't get a fourth fast pass until after 7 p.m. So that's why it behooves you to get them out of the way sooner. But I think that's not a bad plan. And to your point, Len, you're right. You know, if you wait till the night before, heck, even the morning of, you can usually do pretty well. Especially for like, you know, again, not attractions not named, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Anna and Elsa, or Toy Story Midway Mania.
Right.
Very good. Well, that'll do it for us today. Don't forget, this episode of WDWtoday.com has been sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. You know, if you're planning a trip, whether you want to be like Jeremy and his wife and not do a whole lot of planning, or as mostly his wife, but you want to do a whole lot of planning, or you want to get every single detail really part of your trip, well, Mouse Fan Travel is here to help you plan that perfect trip. Their agents are here to get you a great deal and help you with anything about your trip. You need questions about FastPass Plus, the Magical Express, getting, you know, which deal is better, which resort is better, you know, all these questions you typically have about, don't bother doing it yourself. Let someone else get them for you and get you not only the best deal today, but also every day between now and your actual trip. It's a great deal. Check them out right now, mousefantravel.com. For Len Testa, Mike Scopa, Mike Newell, and Mike Scopa? I missed somebody there. I'm Matt Hodgenberg. We'll see you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.